holistic paths are so important because they open the heart. It's not imposing some rigid system, whether it be religious or economic or social, you know. We know all those rigid things, and they never work. They're not real. And they harm people. So this is why the way of the heart, of touching hearts, opening hearts, appealing to the hearts, living through the heart, developing the heart, educating the heart. The mystic paths are here to educate us. That's what they're about. They're educating us to who we are, what we have inside us, what we can offer to others. Who is the other? Who am I? Who is the other? You know, so Sheikh Noor, our Sheikh, said, the other, who is the dervish? He went around the room one night, said, what is a dervish? We all gave our definitions of what it means to be a dervish, you know, Sufi practitioner. When it came to his term, he said, the dervish is the other. The dervish is the one who looks to the other, who cares for the other, who is in the shoes and skin of the other, who cares about other beings, whether they be human beings or creatures on the earth. Small creatures, flying creatures, all is God's creation, and we need to honor God's creation, honor God also by honoring God's creation and God's people, and finding the way, spending our energy. We spend so much energy entertaining ourselves, diverting ourselves from pain, because we're in pain. We are all in pain. And why are we in pain? We're in pain because we're separate. We live separate existences. That makes us in pain. We're separate from God, and we're separate from each other. And so we have a well of pain inside us. And sometimes we need to cry that pain, but we also need to find ways of opening to come to unity again. That's the place where we will find happiness, you know. In our prayer, when it says, come to happiness, you know, Hayala Salat, come to prayer, come to happiness. Well, it doesn't just mean only if we do the Salat. It means the great prayer, too. The great prayer of praying with other beings and seeing that every being is in prayer. This is what it says in the Holy Quran. All beings praise God. And it says then to the reader, you just don't understand how they praise God, but every being is praising God in its own way. The ant walking on the earth, the birds flying and moving their wings, and human beings as they breathe, as they sleep, as they wake. Even human beings who deny God, who are totally atheists, are praising God without being aware of that, you know. So we're all in the ocean of God. We're all in God. We're part of God. But we need to find the ways to open our minds and hearts to recognize that and to live lives that affirm that. Because we can't say, oh, I love God, but, you know, I hate my neighbor. I mean, they're so stupid. Or that person sitting next to me, you know, I can't stand them. They have such a weird way of dressing. Or that gay person, I really hate gays, you know. No, we can't say any of that. That's not possible anymore. We have to honor and revere and love every human being in all the diverse forms. And this is a beauty of Sufism. Sufism loves diversity. Sufism is diversity. So we have the unity, there's one reality, but it manifests in infinite diverse forms. There is no end to God's creativity. And we have to enjoy it. And I'll, you know, share my own little way to accommodate differences in people. And you know, sometimes you see them, they're just like so weird. You see someone in the street, or why does that person have to get in front of me? So now I tell myself, from my own teacher who said, what, would you want a symphony with one bassoon player? No, you want this with all the range of instruments. So I tell myself, also who comes more from an artistic painter art background, I say, well, look at those painters who painted, you know, and you love to go in the museum and see those little figures and Bosch or Bruegel or whatever, and those little odd beings. Well, this is God's artistry. This is God's creation. Love that uniqueness. Love that strangeness, that, you know, that apparition. that's so different from oneself. Love it because it's part of God, and it makes, gives taste to life. Life has taste and beauty. We have to learn to appreciate. God is constantly giving us beauty and teaching us and showing us and manifesting himself or herself to us in all endless variety of ways. So we love God when God is the beggar in the street, you know, who's not washed, who's because they're not cared for by society. But that is a presentation of God. That's God right there. And if we can learn to love that, what we see as ugly is not ugly. The prophet never saw anything as ugly, and I'm sure all the prophets were this way. They didn't. And so one day when he was walking with his companions, and there was a dead dog whose carcass was decaying, and they all like, ah, as we would do, you know, get out of the way, move far. And he said, no, he brought them all back to look at the dog. And he said, actually, this is beautiful. And look at the teeth, how perfectly they are formed. So he didn't allow them that separation from something that they thought was ugly. So he taught beauty in everything. Everything is beautiful. God says, I am beautiful and I love the beautiful. So here, let's be like God. After all, we're created, as it says, in God's image, you know, with all the divine attributes. So let's use that knowledge, use our lives. Our lives are so short. So short, and let's not, inshallah, waste on different, so many things where our energies go. Every moment is like gold, you know, and we can spend it in the market of the world, just waste it away, as I do too. I do that too, don't think I don't. But I say, oh no, Farihat, there you are, you know, letting your mind drift or do these things. No, this is why. If we can recognize everything as praise of God, then it's not so much about the outer doing, it's about the inner consciousness. Then we can be with God at all times. We don't have to go to a monastery or a convent. You know, we do retreat, but for periods, short periods of time, brief, just to recharge. Just in the way we have the Ramadan, it's 1 month a year, it's a time of recharging, replenishing, renewal. But we're out in the world. The only thing we really have to change is our inner being, our inner self, our consciousness, our heart, open our heart. And then we will see, God will use us. We will become a vessel of mercy and kindness and love and, you know, wisdom and all of that. So the Sufi path is the inner path. But it, again, it's the inner that is in the world. It's part of the world. You wouldn't want to take honey out of the world, you know. So what if you had a world without sweetness? No sugar, no honey. Nothing sweet. So the Sufi path, or the mystic path, or the Christian path of the heart, or the Siddhic path, or any path, the mystical path of love, is that honey. It's that honey with God makes the world sweet, even though there can happen disasters. This is the world. It's temporary. It will pass. Things happen. But if we can have that heart in God, we will have that honey inside us, and we won't despair when things, terrible things happen. And inshallah, if more and more people become, honey hives, there will be less calamities, because we won't have hatred that is raging around. We won't have terrible depression, disillusionment, anger from all coming from, because we're not opening out to each other. The guides, you know, Effendi said, when the guides, when the imams, the priests, the rabbis get in the dresses of the, when it's, oh no, he said, when the wolves and the crows get in the dresses of the imams, the priests, the rabbis, he said, the whole world goes into sickness. So, you know, Fendi was an amazing being. He saw things. So let's elevate our souls. Let's elevate our consciousness. And yes, tonight, so we'll have a zikr. This is how we also help elevate, as Sufis, our consciousness and hearts, and nourish our hearts with love.